You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales. I am your reader, Carmen.
I'm your crime weaver, Tyler.
I'm your election monitor, Gordy, because it's the Georgia 6 election tonight again. We did one a while back. Nobody won. We're doing it again. And if there's an exact tie tonight somehow, we're going to do a third round.
Is that when they do dodgeball?
That is the dodgeball round. Tonight is trivia. The first one is regular votes.
Sure.
Second one is trivia. Third is dodgeball. And then if nobody wins, it is a duel to the death.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've all seen a lot of these ads, and hopefully it ends tonight.
That's how most elections go. You just watch them waiting for the ads to end. I mean, this one is important for many reasons, but that's one of the reasons. Prior to this past year, elections were for the ads to end.
Yeah. It's a whole new ballgame. Yeah, anyway.
So, in between election updates from Gordy, we will be attempting to read a folktale from somewhere in the world. You guys are back to three choices. I've kind of started restocking our pile. Not very well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do have three new ones for you.
What you got?
I have the Seven Ravens from Grimm.
Too many.
Too many ravens?
Yeah.
That would be a fun sitcom. Hmm.
I'm intrigued by Too Many Ravens, or whatever the title is.
Is that a full sitcom or just an episode of That's So Raven?
No, I want to see a full sitcom called Too Many Ravens.
I think I only have room for, like, the best version of something in my head,
because
the title you said is completely gone, and all I have is Too Many Ravens. Like, if I find a clean upgrade for something, I just switch it out in my head. Old one's gone, new models in, let's go.
This is a well-oiled machine up there.
Yeah, a finely tuned machine in this head.
All right, from Czechoslovakia, intelligence and luck.
Sure.
Not my favorite stats.
I like them.
Yeah.
I like them.
That sounds right.
If you do high intelligence, low wisdom, it's really fun to play.
And from Italy, how the devil married three sisters.
Yep.
To each other or to him?
The only one way to find out, start the story.
Well, hold on. Hold on now.
Yeah, let's talk it out then.
Okay.
You want to hear about too many birds?
Kinda.
How many birds do you need?
That's the question. How many do I need?
Where,
I don't know.
Where is the bird threshold?
I mean,
I don't know. I don't know this about myself.
I will temporarily argue against myself. We haven't checked in on birds for a while. Maybe it's time.
Yeah. That did come to mind. I feel like we've had kind of like a dry bird well for some time now. I don't know what they're up to. This seems like a good opportunity to find out.
Gordy, for the eighth and final time, that's not what wells are for.
I do not know what the middle story is. It is gone. It is completely gone.
It was stats.
Intelligence and luck.
Okay, that's right. I don't know.
It was min-maxing.
All three of these titles speak something to me.
As resident crime weaver, I need to hear about devil stuff.
Okay.
But I could be sold on Birdwatch, just because it's been a while.
I have no dog in this fight. You two have to battle this one out, and I do what you tell me.
What is the real title again?
Seven Ravens.
Seven Ravens. Is it the devil part that you want? Is it the which
100%?
Which part of it is the alluring part to you?
The devil marrying three sisters.
Okay,
the whole title.
I don't know if Seven Ravens can offer that. Maybe they marry each other, or some different birds, or
yeah,
some humans. We don't know.
I'm thinking about this as an equation now too.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out, like,
we got seven birds, three sisters.
Like what is the exchange rate of birds? Right.
One devil.
What is a
one
bird?
Devil present?
What is a bird worth? They're ravens. Ravens are pretty smart.
And big.
And big.
They're like bigger than some hawks.
The devil's in Italy?
Yeah.
This time?
Does that change? He's an Italian devil. Does that change anything?
Well, is Italy taxes?
Is Italy taxes?
Yeah, or is that only the Celtic?
It seems to be predominantly in the north.
I mean, Italy can be paid as taxes, probably.
That's my question.
We don't know.
Maybe not all of Italy.
We just had a tax one.
We did.
We just did taxes.
All right, let's do birds.
Okay.
Should we consider the middle one?
No, not at all.
Okay.
That one's a clunker. You'll hear it 3 weeks from now. I guarantee that.
You'll hear it later when it's the last one on the menu.
Okay.
Okay, let's go for birds.
All right, this is Grimtail, called Too Many Birds or Seven Ravens.
Yeah.
I didn't do any research for this.
Yep.
I'm too tired to do it now.
Let's go.
Let's do this. Once there was a man. He had seven sons.
Nope.
He had zero daughters.
Veto. Devil story.
You're flipping over.
Too late now.
You know, like the way it starts?
Damn it.
Too late, we're in
seven,
it.
Seven sons? Are they birds?
They're about to be.
Are these the birds?
Do they marry bird sisters?
Well, they don't have a sister, because the man...
I don't want them to marry their sister. I know that there are sisters out there that are birds.
I have to think about the legalistics of this.
The legalistics?
Because you offered veto power.
Is that lawyer speak, legalistics?
I think so.
Where's your tie, sir?
It's in the next room.
I don't think anything you say is valid without it.
I have a Xerox of it somewhere, just to prove that I have one. It's Exhibit A in all my cases.
It's your business card.
Exhibit A, I do have a tie. I'm not wearing it, but here it is. Just picture me in a suit.
You can trust everything I say.
Based on my title, mm-hmm. which is the election monitor,
yep.
I don't think that gives me the authority to override a veto.
I have the authority to override it, and I did.
Wait, do you?
Yeah.
You don't get to choose.
Once the choice is locked in and I have started story goes till story finished.
Yeah, train ain't stopping.
You guys
sit here. I will kick
here
and scream.
And you okay. listen until
sure.
story finished.
All right.
Them's the rules. That's why we set aside like 8 hours for a Danois. Okay, so seven sons, no daughter. Wishes he had one. So his wife gets pregnant and then gives birth to a girl. Wish granted pretty much immediately.
The story ends.
That's it.
Everyone happy.
They're super happy about this, but the girl is small and sickly, so they give her a private baptism just in case she's going to leave this world.
Sure. Sensible.
The father sends a son.
That devil's after ladies down in Italy.
Maybe.
He'll make his way to Germany eventually.
Okay. You know what? Let's think of these as concurrent stories.
I already am.
Okay, so we'll fill in the other half next week. They coordinated, right? Grimm's were Germany. Italy's the other one.
Yeah.
So that's next to each other.
Is that the Pentamerone?
They're next to each other, except
this
for...
one's not from the Pentamerone.
No, the Italy.
Italy's responsible.
Oh, I didn't know that. That was good cut. I agree with you. Override.
No.
Two-thirds majority. Override.
That's not how this works.
Go the other one.
You guys locked in. You can't two-thirds majority after the election has been votes counted.
Also, Gordy, we did shoot ourselves in the foot by giving her seven birds and not three women.
Excuse me?
Because now it's 8-2.
That's true. Ah. Once you give me a title, that title is my ally.
Oh, okay. That's right.
They're my Congress, I guess.
If we picked the other one, the devil would have been on my side because crime. We would have had a 3-3 split. Cricket decides.
I'm glad we figured out the constitution of this podcast. Can I finish the story?
Please.
It's good to know the checks and balances.
Okay, so father chooses a son to fetch water for the baptism, and the other six, I just guess, go along with him. They each wanted to be the first to fill the water jug, and in their struggle, they drop the jug into the well. So they don't know what to do. None of them dare to go home without water to baptize their possibly dying sister. And meanwhile, back at home, their father's getting impatient and believes that they just forgot to finish getting baptism water for some game they were playing.
There are seven of them.
Yes.
Can't they, like, barrel of monkeys their way down the well?
That game hasn't been invented yet.
Damn it.
They have no frame of reference for that. All they know is stick and rock and maybe wheel thing.
Golden ball.
They're not that rich. There's seven of them. So, the father fears the girl will have to die without getting baptized, and he angrily wishes that all of his sons, worthless as they are, get turned into ravens.
What?
His sons didn't bring the water back. He figures they're just playing some silly game instead of getting baptism water for their dying sister.
Right.
So he wishes they turn into ravens.
Okay, that's where you lost me.
Yeah.
Why?
Because she's gonna die and go straight to hell.
Yeah.
Without that baptism.
So screw those boys. Let them be birds.
Okay.
They're playing with a life.
I guess so.
And they don't understand it because they are seven wild, crazy boys.
And now they can be seven wild, crazy ravens. When I was talking to my dad about this, he made a good point. Like, another reason birds might not be super into magic as a concept is the insult that being turned into birds is a punishment for so many things. Sure.
I see.
Not only that it's an insult, but that it is an influx into their population of people that they are not welcoming of.
Yeah, that don't understand bird culture or bird language, really, or bird society in any way. Just messing up everything.
Ignorance of bird law is not an excuse.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah, sky law is in effect. Birds are nationalists is what I'm getting at. I'm not sure I'm on the side of the birds, but I'm also not sure I'm on the side of the fairies.
Hard to choose.
I don't think we need to pick a side. We're just documenting.
That's true. We're distant observers and big fans of Boney.
That's mainly it.
We're on Boney's side. Whatever he's doing is probably the coolest thing. Okay, so he finishes his wish, and the air above him fills with the sound of whirring wings, and he looks up to see seven black ravens flying away from him.
Mm-hmm. Again, wish granted. Worth noting.
He couldn't take back the curse, and he was sad about losing his sons, but he comforted himself with a daughter who grew stronger and more beautiful every day. So it turns out not getting dunked into water was better for her health anyway.
So just
turns out.
Yeah, so just kind of a big tactical error on his part.
Right. So the daughter didn't know she had any brothers because her parents never mentioned them to her.
That would be traumatizing.
But one day she overhears some random people out in the village talking about how she might be pretty, but it is all her fault that her brothers fell upon their misfortune.
I mean, it's a little bit her dad's fault.
I would say primarily her dad's fault.
For wishing them into birds.
How many years would you wager?
How old is she at this point?
Yeah.
30?
Well, that definitely passes the threshold of my question.
Yeah.
Which is, what is the statute of limitations on gossip?
Oh, like how...
Like, why are these people still talking about that?
Oh, I thought you meant, like, how long can this dad, like, enforce some kind of gossip blackout?
Well, that also.
Like, what are his rights there?
If in your tiny village, where not a lot happens, seven boys suddenly turn into seven ravens.
Does everyone know that, or does everyone just think they disappeared?
I think they saw it happen.
It would happen in the middle of the town?
I guess so.
He was going
to the well, so the well's probably, like, all the boys were around the well,
mm-hmm.
which is probably fairly central.
I thought that they warped to him, though, in that moment. Wasn't he surrounded by birds, suddenly?
Well, he finished the sentence and the air was full of birds, so maybe, like the John curse and anticipated what he was saying, and so at the start of the sentence, all the boys just kind of popped into raven form.
So he said, I wish my sons were, and whoever was listening was like, yeah, I got it.
No, I know what you want.
Ravos!
Bird them up!
If I saw seven boys turn into birds, I'd probably talk about it a lot. I'd probably keep telling that story for a while.
I mean, you do still talk about those steel beams.
Yeah, it's worth bringing up.
So the girl is troubled by this gossip, and she goes to her mom and dad to get the whole story. And
how troubled?
Troubled enough to, like, do something about it.
Actionable.
On a scale from 1 to John McCain, how troubled is she?
It sounds like it's exactly John McCain.
Okay. Which is still fairly mild.
Right. She has not reached Donnie Darko.
No.
What? She hasn't reached Donnie Darko levels of troubled?
Yeah.
Is he troubled?
He's pretty troubled.
Mr. Darko?
Troubled and disturbed.
Is there a guy named Donnie Darko in that movie?
Yes. That is his name.
It's the main character.
What's the rabbit?
Frank.
That's right.
I think.
You should watch Donnie Darko at least once.
Should I?
He is troubled.
We've been over this.
I mean, don't expect it to change your life, but...
I don't.
You should watch it at least once.
I would say that he is troubled by a jet turbine.
We have been over how the scary rabbit teaches evil math to this man. And that is what that movie is about. Who wrote that? Who directed that?
I don't know.
Who's responsible? It's not Tim Burton.
Who's responsible for this?
No, it is not Tim Burton.
Even though it feels like a little Burton-y around the edges, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Burton adjacent.
I'm going to look this up while you...
I don't think it's Lynch either, but that was the second thing that popped in my head.
So the parents tell her everything that happened, but they assure her that the whole bird problem was the will of heaven and her birth was only the innocent cause. So still her fault, mm-hmm. kind of. Mostly heaven's. Not dad's. Definitely not dad's.
Wouldn't be. Daddy knows best.
The girl still feels pretty guilty about it, and she intends to free her brothers and can't rest until she sneaks out of the house to wander around the wide world to set them free.
Now we have an adventure.
Do we? What's happening?
She's gone off to free her brothers.
Cool. She's going to free her brothers from this curse.
She snuck out the
window. She's
going to
see the world
night.
While she does it.
She tied her bed sheets together and to the bedpost and snuck out the window.
Yes, no, kitchen knife.
Important.
Not mentioned.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Keep an eye out.
Oh, she takes nothing but the little ring belonging to her parents as a keepsake, a loaf of bread.
She jacked their engagement ring?
Sure, yeah. A pitcher of water and a chair to rest on.
What?
She's carrying a chair with her.
In a bindle? Or, like, tied to her back?
I like the image of the chair tied to her back with the other stuff in a bindle on top of it.
Sure.
Like in the seat of it.
This is oldie times. Tweren't no folding chair.
Yeah, it's not a camping chair she's got there. It's a full-on wooden frame. I think it's too early.
Okay.
It's too early to tell.
Okay.
Just like the election. It's too early to tell.
Sure. I will say I like her attitude.
I like her attitude. I like her sense of motivation. I'm not sure about the chair yet.
It's a curious choice.
But I respect it, I think.
So she marches her way to the end of the world, because flat earth theory is true.
Jesus.
According to the flat earth theory, the earth does not have an end.
Well, part of the flat earth theory is true. They're wrong about infinite earth. Because that math don't add up, because there was no math
was
in that article.
Also, was that consensus?
That the earth...
is eternal, or was that an outlier?
According to the Flat Earth Society FAQ, the Earth is eternal.
Okay.
But then they linked to math that was not math.
Well, there wasn't a lot of math in it, but that is their claim. How many of them can there be?
Flat Earthers?
Yeah.
At least 10.
Right. How big of a schism could there be in the Flat Earth community?
At least 3.
Yeah.
I can name one.
Which is?
Shel Silverstein.
Yeah, Sidewalk.
Yeah, that sucker knows there's an end.
I would trust Shel Silverstein.
He's
if
seen
Shel
it.
Silverstein told me the earth was flat, I'd probably believe him.
Yeah, he's a much more reliable source.
But he's earned it, yeah.
So Shel Silverstein and this girl prove that part of flat earth theory wrong, but also prove the rest of it correct. Because she gets to the end of the world where she finds the sun. But the sun is hot and terrible and has this nasty little habit of eating children. So, she runs away to the moon.
A lot of kids make it to the end of the earth.
Yeah.
Well, we know why some of them don't.
So she runs away to the moon, which I guess is on a different end of the earth. The moon is cold and awful and malicious and says, keeps repeating, I smell the flesh of man.
The moon?
Yep. So she runs away.
Why do we let them just run around in the sky if they're like this?
Why do we want to go there?
To the sun and the moon?
Yeah.
I think we only want to go to one of those.
Yeah, only North Korea wants to go to the sun.
They both sound like they suck.
North Korea did go to the sun.
That's true, they did.
Yeah, it makes that... Maybe that's what they're trying to hide.
Yeah, NASA...
they did go there.
Jerks.
Maybe they went there and they learned something.
Yeah.
NASA's been hiding creepy moon speak recordings for a long time.
Buzz Aldrin did go to the moon, but the moon pantsed him.
That's why
so they had to fake it so it looked nicer.
I smell the crack of man.
That's why the Neil Armstrong audio recording is all choppy and experts can't agree on what he said. It's because they chopped out a bunch of parts where the moon threatened to eat him.
They chopped out the part where the moon gave him a swirly.
Because the moon is just like a high school bully from the 1950s. That's still a thing. What are the like,
swirlies?
Like, what are the bullying tactics? Is it just cyberbullying?
Probably
now?
Cyber, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
We don't do our bullying in person anymore in this country.
Yeah, there's no white glove bullying.
I think it's just racism now, which is too bad.
You're saying you feel left out?
I don't know. Like, what happened to, like, the good old fashioned, like, let's pick on the nerds? And I say this as somebody who is not in a position to do any bullying.
The nerds designed systems to allow them to bully other people.
The nerds made a bunch of cool apps, and now they're very rich.
Okay, so after she runs away from the moon, she finds the stars. The stars are nice to her, and each of the stars has his own little chair to sit on.
It's a chair party.
It's a good detail to have. So the morning star arose and gave her the drumstick of a chicken.
Where'd the star get that?
It arose from the earth. So maybe it like just hit up the KFC during the day.
Just on the way up?
Yeah.
Grabbed a chicken by the leg and wouldn't let go?
No, it's a drumstick.
Oh.
So presumably cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it stopped for breakfast on its way to work.
Yeah.
But its eyes were bigger than its tummy. So it had some leftover to give.
So, gives her the drumstick of a kitchen, chicken, and says, hey, you can't open the glass mountain without this.
Cryptic.
They know more about her quest than she does.
Yeah. They know more about her quest than we do.
Then what now?
There's no dramatic irony here, because we're finding out.
Oh yeah,
we're
left out as well.
We're all confused.
It's an interesting strategy to go for.
The glass mountain is where your brothers are, by the way, says the star.
Good note. Thank you, star.
So she wraps the drumstick in a cloth, and she goes on until she finds the glass mountain. The door was shut and locked, so she takes out the drumstick, but finds that the cloth is empty.
The sun took it.
Because tricks?
Or the moon.
Someone. Or she just dropped it. She is a kid.
But she's got a chair bindle.
Yeah, but dropping food is like half of what they do.
Children?
Yeah.
They're adept. To say the least.
Lunch is in my classroom this week. I know about dropping food.
Children are adept at ceasing to possess things. Just in general.
They do seem to have a talent of separating themselves from their belongings.
So she panics about losing the star's gift. She has no idea what to do, but she really wants to rescue her brothers and has no key. So she takes a knife and she cuts
Does
off
she?
One of her little fingers.
Yeah, that's a strong move.
I feel like that's an automatic.
That's a very strong application.
That's an automatic induction.
Well, let's give it to the end of the story, but I'm optimistic.
She takes her little finger and puts it in the door and succeeds in picking the lock with it.
Yeah, she does.
She does.
So she goes inside and meets a little dwarf who says, "My child, what are you looking for?" She says, I'm looking for my brothers. They're like seven ravens.
Can you say that in a more badass way? Like you're wielding a knife?
Okay. And a bleeding pinky.
Say it like you're Aubrey Plaza.
I don't know if I can imitate Aubrey Plaza, but I can...
She's what's the word? Inimitable?
Inimitable.
Is that right?
I think so.
I'm looking for my brothers. They're seven ravens.
Explosion in the background.
That's the quote on the poster. I'm looking for my brothers. They are seven ravens.
As this bleeding stump pinky woman with a knife in one hand and a just deadpan face walks in front of an explosion.
Deadpan
on.
Face, chair strapped across the back. She's framed in the middle of the DVD box. She's like one hand is like down by her side, bleeding. And then there's like seven ravens shooting out, like silhouetted around her.
Yeah, from the explosion that's behind her.
Yeah. Is that a John Woo movie?
I'm going to say right now I'm sensing a missed opportunity, but I'll save it for the end.
That's the thing I should draw for Dragon Con.
Be good.
Because I need ideas so bad, guys. So the dwarf says, the Lord Ravens aren't at home. But you can wait if you'd like.
Dwarf butler?
I guess so. He invites her in. So he carries in the raven's dinner on seven little plates and in seven little glasses. The little sister eats a morsel from each plate and takes a sip from each glass and drops the ring from her parents into the last glass.
It's an interesting ritual.
She hears the whirring of wings and the dwarf says, they're flying home. She's probably like, yeah, dude, I get it.
She sharpens her blade.
Yeah.
Polishes it with their pinky blood. So the ravens came in and they wanted to eat and drink, but they noticed that food has been taken from each of them, and also a sip is missing from each glass, and the human mouth is responsible.
Uh-oh.
I can see it from the bite marks left in whatever, like, meat pie or they had.
You meant like in the goblets.
Or that.
She just really went to town on those.
Or, well, if they were golden goblets, I don't know if they are, but if they were, then yeah, there's probably teeth marks in it. It's pure gold. Stop making your shit out of pure gold, people. Terrible metal. The seventh raven came to the bottom of his glass and a ring rolled against his mouth. He recognizes it as his parents' ring and says, oh, I hope this means our sister's here and we're free.
You hope?
He hopes. Sister was standing behind the door, hears this, and she comes out, and all the ravens turn human again, but from her mere presence in the room.
But she, oh, okay. Okay.
They all embraced, and they go home, the end.
Yeah.
That's it.
This one's sourced from the same Harvard Classics book that I've been using for most of my Grim Tales, so
mm-hmm.
We discovered that book was truncated in some places, so there might be more to the story in other places, but that's the version we got.
It could be that it's been a while since we've touched Grimm, but
it's been a little while.
But that felt uncharacteristic of them.
What, a sudden ending?
The whole thing.
Okay, in what way?
What about it?
Just the pacing, the events, the vague ending, all of it felt un-Grimm-like to me.
Are they known for, like, wrapping them up in a neat bow?
Kind of.
A lot of Grimm's tales are very different from each other, though. Like, I don't think I could come up with a thread to Grimm's tales that separates them from folklore in general.
I would say
they're responsible for Hans my Hedgehog and mm-hmm. the Bird and the Sausage mm-hmm. and yeah. Mouse.
I would say
while those are both strange, they have structure. And this one felt lacking in that category.
This one has the clear East of the Sun, West of the Moon vibes in its structure.
It's got a reference.
The journey and the
mm-hmm.
the shitty celestial objects. Actually, haven't read East of the Sun, West of the Moon, so I should probably stop. Way.
I feel like we know it by this point.
You do.
Did you have something?
Oh, I was gonna say I would say, the same thing that William Rehnquist said about pornography in the Supreme Court, which is, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. Like
for a Grimm story?
Like you can tell, usually, like this feels like a Grimm story, but I'm not sure that I could define what exactly it is. Just kind of a grimminess about it.
It's got that grimmy grime.
It's got the grimmy all over it. Does anything jump out at you as needing addressing?
Yes.
Other than the structure?
Yes.
What?
The chair.
That's right. She doesn't sit in them.
Yeah.
She doesn't sit in it. She doesn't break it over that dwarf's head.
Maybe it's just a backup. The
dwarf didn't do anything.
Right. I was expecting a villain, and he seemed to be the most plausible, given that he lived in the place where they were all trapped, seemingly.
It's true. Yeah, they don't explain, like, why the brothers got to the Glass Mountain.
Nope. Nor why it is openable by drumstick.
And presumably only by drumstick?
Unless you sacrifice a pinky.
You need a bone shard to pick the lock. Right,
but still, very specific shape. I think.
Was that MacGuffin needed?
Which one?
The bone.
Was it needed?
Yeah.
I like it.
Like, couldn't the stars have just said the door can only be opened by a bone, and then she had to decide
how to
get a bone.
Oh, how to... Yeah, you're right. They don't need the drumstick part.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I do kind of like the twist of the, like, mentor gift.
Just being useless.
Just not existing anymore by the time that it comes.
Also unexplained as to why. Like, we don't know the reason why it's gone. We're just told it isn't there.
Maybe she has a pack monster.
Or a hole. Like a normal person.
Maybe that's why she doesn't sit in the chair. Because it's like
there's
a
hole in it.
Those woven chairs.
Yeah.
That after time.
It's a wicker chair.
Yeah, after time there's just a giant hole in the seat.
It's bone shaped.
You know, things don't have to fall through holes shaped like that.
No, but it's funnier when they do.
I just want to make sure.
Can you refute that?
I cannot.
Quickly around the table.
Sure.
Church of the Knife membership, yes or no?
Yeah, 100%.
Yes.
Hard yes. Okay, great. Yeah. What's her name? Did we get a name?
Did she get one?
I don't think she
got a
name.
She's just the sister.
Yeah, she's the daughter.
Or daughter.
We can call her Raven.
Sure.
All right.
She's earned that name.
This feels like an anime to me.
Does it?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, cool knife girl that has 7 bird brothers that can, like, talk to her, and maybe they have special abilities or something. That sounds very anime.
Hey, guys, can we revisit the name briefly?
Of the story?
Of the girl.
Sure.
As an inductee?
Yeah.
Is the name Littlefinger taken?
Yes.
Shit.
It is taken by Game of Thrones.
Well, dang.
You're too late.
I was trying to think of a way to incorporate the pinky finger, since that was the catalyst,
yeah,
to do her faith. I guess
it's too bad little finger is kind of in the cultural zeitgeist, and so is pinky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she doesn't have a brain to
play off of.
Yeah. Although I think we talked about this too, but I do really like the fan theory that Pinky is actually the intelligent one in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and all the other ones just don't strike fear, like Hand Stub.
What?
Other possible nicknames just don't strike fear, like Hand Stub.
Oh yeah.
So.
How do you guys feel about Finger Daughter?
No.
Finger Daughter.
I feel very poorly about that.
It doesn't sound great.
What about Raven's Bane?
Raven's what?
Bane.
Is she their Bane?
She ends the Raven part of them.
Is she a sword?
Is she herself a sword?
Sounds like a sword name to me.
Oh, Raven's Bane, yeah.
That's what she named her knife.
For sure.
That's fine.
We can agree on that.
Maybe we should go back and fill in other knife names.
I wonder if they just go by their knife names.
How?
Oh, that'd be kind of a cool thing.
Like that they slough
the
off their
yeah.
old lives.
You are,
and
you
they
are
choose
the
knife.
Their
knife
she's
name.
Not, she's not Unanana anymore. She's
you are the knife.
Whatever.
What would you name a knife that c- cut its way out of the inside of a bull elephant. The gorer.
The gorer. The hide.
The butcher.
The maybe. The hide cutter opener.
The emancipator.
The can opener. Because she kind of broke them all out of the metaphorical can. What did you say?
I said the emancipator. Because I'm also, I'm going down the path of escape and
yeah,
victory over
Robert entrapment. Girl's is throat tickler.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Do we only have three?
Got Robert Girl.
There was another.
Udonana. We didn't have a knife on her yet.
I think she was a potential,
mm-hmm.
but she didn't quite show enough.
She was pre being discovered and given her knife. She had the attitude.
Right, but we have to rediscover her in another story later to see if she makes it.
Any idea who she was? Because I do not remember.
No, I'll have to go back and listen again. Don't.
If anybody out there remembers, you can tell us and we'll keep an ear out for it. So we have three confirmed
members.
Right, like knife-bearing, full-fledged members.
Yeah.
Throat Tickler, Raven's Bane, and...
Butcher.
The Butcher, I guess. That seems intense for Udonana. I mean,
the animals were very afraid of her.
They it's were. True. It seemed like a fear out of respect, though. Like she commanded respect more than fear.
The chef.
What if you call her, like, the butcher's gate or something? Because she cut a hole in meat.
How about the gatekeeper?
Maybe.
The doormaker.
The doormaker.
The door woman. The doormaker.
The pathfinder.
Gate.
Pathfinder. I'm into pathfinder.
Pathfinder I can get on board with. That sounds cool. It's also copyrighted, but.
Well, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, go to hell, Wizards of the Coast. Don't do that. I like your stuff. Some of it.
They can't take the whole word. We can't make a game about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Throat Tickler, Pathfinder, and Ravensbane.
There's your art. Here's your Dragon Con art.
It's true. Triptych of the Church of the Knife.
Get all three of them.
I need to show you guys my potential symbol for the Church of the Knife.
Is it a knife?
Is it a stained glass knife?
A knife is involved. It's like the symbol for the female, but the knife is that part.
The
pointy part?
The circle, yeah. With the hilt.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
So simple, and then we need a Latin phrase to go around it.
Okay. Okay, yeah, we'll work on that.
So that'll be one of our shirts for PodCon.
Yeah, if you want to buy one of those. it's a very, I don't know, did we start a feminist movement?
I don't think we can claim to have started one.
Well,
no.
Okay.
Found one.
Huh?
We discovered one.
We might be observing one.
We're adding. Sure. Like, not maybe movement is too strong a word, but you know.
Also,
you know what I mean.
Whether or not what we're doing is additive, yet to be seen.
Additive?
Yeah.
I think so.
Sure.
We're celebrating strong female characters in folklore.
We are doing that.
Specifically ones with knives.
Yeah, I mean, but I see it as like at the heart, like these are female characters who do not need a male character to help them.
Yeah, they get shit done.
They stand up, they take charge of their lives, they know what they want, they do it. That's worth celebrating.
Absolutely.
I think. So there you go. If you want to be a part of it, buy a shirt.
Any other threads? I feel like the what is it? The trope?
Huh?
The bird people trope?
No, the sun and the moon one.
Oh, the east of sun, west of the moon?
I feel like that was just lip service this time.
It's an homage.
She wasn't wearing iron shoes or anything either.
Right, and in those stories, they're typically more adversarial. They seem like an obstacle.
Yeah, a conversation happens. You don't just look at them and be like, well, that one has like a 6-year-old in its mouth, so
yeah,
I'm going to walk away.
This time she noticed them, and she's like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah, it's kind of a smart move, maybe. Maybe a Church of the Knifey kind of move.
Sure.
Because she's not going to waste her energy on that. Like, she's obviously not afraid of things, but they're not going to help her. And that's what she's looking for, really, when she goes to the celestial body. She's looking for some kind of direction or aid. And one's too busy eating children, and the other one's too busy saying creepy things in a corner.
Then the rest of them are having a seminar.
Yeah. Chaircon.
Was she ever baptized?
No.
No. I guess she could when she goes home.
If she wants to.
I mean, she has a Church of the Knife baptism awaiting her.
Sure.
I think cutting off your own pinky is the Church of the Knife baptism.
It's kind of...
You're bathed in your own blood.
In
your knife is bathed in your blood, which is more symbolic.
That's true.
Kind of in the Quaker style. It is not a set ritual. It is a thing that happens inside yourself, and then you are baptized. Like, whether that means cutting your way out of an elephant, or cutting your own finger off, or everything that
Robert
Earl
did. Or just tickling the deer for no reason.
Well, she did more than that.
Well, yeah, she had like 2 6 guns by the end of it.
Yeah.
She was firing off like a cowboy.
She was all
in our version.
Yeah, Robert Girl rebirthed herself into Robert Woman.
Yes. I would like art of these three people.
Okay.
So do that.
Request accepted.
I might even buy a shirt of it.
And wear a church.
If I were out there, I would definitely buy a shirt of it. Or a bumper sticker or something.
We can get the Church of the Knife symbol done.
Okay.
Before PodCon for definite.
Cool.
And yeah, I might at least do this Raven one for DragonCon. Need to figure out kind of a visual motif to link them together.
Explode?
Just explosions.
Oh, a visual motif?
Yeah.
A knife.
Well, yes. Obviously.
They're all women.
Okay, thank you, Gordy.
Am I getting it?
Yes.
Is this how art works?
Yeah, you fixed it. You got my art done. Thank you. Super helpful.
That's what the art world needs. That's what every business needs, what every art person needs, is an ideas guy. Like, you don't know what to draw? I got a list.
I know a lot of people on the internet that agree with you.
Really? Are they also ideas people?
They are.
Okay. Yeah, I'm waiting for that to catch on as a career opportunity.
They are ideas people. They don't have money. Those are the two characteristics.
They have exposure.
Yes.
Anything else?
Nope.
Nah. We covered what I wanted to cover.
All right.
Which was Church of the Knife. I don't even know that I heard parts of the story because I was thinking about that.
My last thought, I guess, is that it was nice to hear the brothers were excited that she was there. Like, they had been hoping that she would show up.
Yeah. They knew that she was their hero.
Right. Like, I don't know, it's a very brief story,
yeah.
But I appreciated that from beginning to end, these brothers were devoted to their sister.
Yeah.
Like, what got them into trouble was how much they cared about her.
That's true.
And then they were psyched to see her when she got there.
Is
and that's this, just kind of nice.
Is this at all worth casting?
I mean, there's a lot of them.
Lot
I don't know
birds.
If I can go through seven brothers.
Okay, that's fair.
Sister, sun, moon, stars.
We can at least cast her. The brothers are minor.
I know it's a very timely, very like fashionable suggestion right now. Gal Gadot seems right.
Sure.
She's
you know, they made that movie already, right?
She's got heat right now. She can do another one.
I don't know. I picture this girl as being a little younger, though.
Is she not young?
No, like teenage years.
Oh.
Like not a full-grown woman.
I guess.
I remember you were the one who said she was 30.
I did say that. I don't know teenagers who can do that. I don't know teenagers who can act.
You just need to... Well, you need to find a woman who looks like a teenager. She looks very much like a woman.
Sure.
Maybe whoever played her as a youth...
Has Ellen Page retired from teen movies yet?
I don't know that I see Ellen Page as a
teen anymore.
As a Church of the Knife.
Really?
Actress. I don't know. I could be convinced. I like Ellen Page a lot.
I do too. She's got the innocent face, so she could still pull off really young.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Maybe. Sure, why not? I can go for that. So, I thought about it.
So we can tweet Ellen Page, see if she'd be willing to cut off a pinky to join the Church of the Knife.
And play a teenager again, which I'm pretty sure she hasn't done for
again
like a while. Like,
I don't know how old she is. Probably like 30.
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. Seems good.
Well, I will say that I was pleasantly surprised by that one.
You're
given
welcome.
Given my...
Given yeah. that we both tried to change tracks
in the first
in
sentence.
The first sentence.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what they say, don't judge a story by its first sentence.
You gotta give it a couple.
That old adage.
And this is why I just barrel through and ignore you.
This is why we don't have veto power.
I mean, really, your voting power is more just like a tip of the hat to give you a sense of control when I actually took it away from you because I had to force you into reading some of these stories we'd mentioned.
Oh, I'm aware that the three choices up front are just plastic baby keys that you want us to teethe on.
Just dangling them in front of you to keep you
occupied. It doesn't mean we can't enjoy them for what they are. Yeah, do the end part.
Who wants to close up shop?
Tyler volunteers this tribute.
Okay, that's going to do it for another episode of What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. We've been your reader, Crime Weaver, and election... What?
Monitor, I think.
Monitor.
I did monitor it. I just didn't tell you.
Right. No, we saw you do it.
Because it's going to be a week old when this comes out and you'll know.
If you even care about what's happening in Georgia.
If you care. The good news is the ads will stop.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for listening. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on YouTube, kind of. You can find us on Patreon.
All the links in the
Twitter.
Thing.
Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to our patrons. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you to our gaffer/best boy, Cricket.
Doing always. A stand-up job, as always.
Always so helpful in this recording process.
And newly minted sound engineer intern.
Yep, thanks to her sliding into the mixer prowess. Top of the resume. We're What the Folklore. That's how it works.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us, you can leave it either by Gmail or Facebook. Our Gmail account is wtfolklore@gmail.com, and our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com/WT Folklore. Feel free to send in stories if you have any particularly odd pieces of folklore or mythology that you would like to hear us talk about. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales.